Won't you go ahead and get your Bibles out, if you would, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 15. To get your Bibles out, turn to 2 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to read one verse and get started this morning. Verse number 15, I thought I was going another direction this morning. I was going to preach on feelings. And that's coming up one Sunday. Too many Christians are going by their feelings instead of what the Word of God says. But I just really believe that this is what I need to preach on this morning. And that's what we're going to look at. The 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 15. Again, I do apologize for my voice. We'll do the best we can. If it blows out, we'll shut the Bible and go home. Amen. Most of you can't take more than 15 or 20 minutes of what I got anyway. So, amen. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 15. And he said, "What have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." Do you know what God has seen in your house and in my house? Everything. There is nothing in my house or your house that God has not seen. That's enough right there to give an invitation. Amen. Brother John, would you pray for the message and we'll be seated this morning and get started. Yes. Yep, it's long. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, we can be seated this morning. We'll get started. First of all, in case there's anybody here this morning not familiar with this passage, to give you a little bit of background. This is the king of Babylon. He has heard that King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, is sick. When he hears he's sick, there are some letters and a present sent to King Hezekiah. Some ambassadors from Babylon come and they show up and they come to Jerusalem. And when they do, King Hezekiah takes them into his house and he shows them everything. And then you get to the text that we just read. The prophet Isaiah shows up and he's going to give Hezekiah a rebuke about letting these Babylonians come in here and see what's in his house. But when the prophet Isaiah shows up, this is a question he asks. And actually where we're going to get our text for the message this morning, he says, "What have they seen in there? What did you show them?" He said, "I showed them everything. They've seen everything in my house." And I got to thinking about that passage, and actually what he showed them was some physical things in the house. But I'm going to take that passage this morning. I'm going to spiritualize it a little bit. I'm not asking you about what kind of possessions are in your home. I'm not asking you this morning about what kind of goodies you got in your house. I'm more on a spiritual level. I want to know what's going on in your house. And what we're going to preach on this morning is a spring house cleaning. It's time for a spring house cleaning. Do you know the first day of spring was March the 20th? And it's time for a good spring house cleaning. Thank God my wife and I have already had our good spring house cleaning. We had the very best spring house cleaning we have ever had in our life. I tell you, there's a young lady in this church right here that has forgotten more about cleaning the house than most of you will ever know. I've never seen anybody clean something like she cleaned it. And I tell you what, she made me feel like a new man and probably saved my life. And I want to brag on her from the pulpit because I needed some help. And I'm going to tell you something. We got that house clean, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody look up here at me. Everybody listen to me now. There's something in our houses that is worse than dirt. There's something in our houses that'll kill us more than that mold. It needs to be cleaned. And if you haven't cleaned your house, I mean, a spring house clean, that's a good thing, ain't it? Open up the windows. Remember how folks used to take out the rugs and take out the curtains and all that stuff and beat them with a broom on the clothesline and all that and clean everything? And good news for you, the first day of summer isn't until June the 20th. So if you haven't got your spring house clean and done, you got plenty of time to do it. But whether you get it done or not, let me just tell you this. You need to have a spiritual spring house cleaning. Amen. The question is asked, what have they seen in your house? You know, a man's house is supposed to be his castle. It's funny how many men don't want to go to their home, to their castle. It's a funny thing where we say, yeah, sing that song, there's no place like home. And why do so many people try to avoid it? You ever heard that song, Home, Home on the Range, where the deer and antelope play, where never is heard and encourage, oh, discouraging words. Let me tell you something. Everybody look up here at me this morning. The problem with this country is not the mean people. It's not these wicked people. We've always had wicked people. It's not the sodomites. There's always been sodomites in this, around this place. There's always been devilish people. The problem with this country is the church has lost its power and does not stand up for anything anymore. Now, why is the church so ineffective? Because the church is made up of families. And if you want to find out about a family, I mean, where does it all really take place in a family? The nurturing in a family, to see what a family really is. It takes place in that house. A person's house is the most personal possession they have. It's the most private place. You find out more about who you really are and what you really are when you're at home than any other place in the world. And I'm telling you something, you cannot get enough Bible, you cannot get enough teaching, and you cannot get enough church a couple of times on Sunday and a little bit on Wednesday and then forget about having God in your home the rest of the time. Some of us need to look in our house. When I say house, I'm talking about the structure that we live in. And just have a little house cleaning this morning. It's going over like a lead balloon. But we're going to preach anyway, amen? We're going to look at it. And I'll say this, your home gets nasty because you don't take time to clean it. We get busy, don't we? Just get busy. And in order to see how nasty it is, you got to take time to look around. Pull the curtains back. Look in the little crevices. When people walk in, they think, oh, your house is so clean. And you say, uh-uh, come over here and pull up the rug and look up under. You see, we got to take time and just stop here this morning and say, okay, all right, what's going on in my home? Because in your home, it doesn't just, let me tell you what it affects in your home. You, mama, you, daddy, your children, if grandchildren are living in your home, if maybe some people keep their mom and their dad in their home, whoever's in your home, whatever's going on in your home affects everybody. We need to understand that. Now I have just 2 points. I want us to think about some common things seen in most homes. And then I want us to think about some things that should be seen in most homes and things that are seen in most homes that maybe should not be seen. Number one, here we go. First thing you'll see in your home is the real you. Or for many folks, a different you. Now listen, nobody mistake me. Nobody mistake me. I believe a home ought to be a place where it's not tight. And then, you know, listen, if you have a house that's not lived in, please don't invite me over. I'm scared I might make a mark on it. I don't want to do that. Now, I don't want to have a house that everything's, you know, you're so OCD and you got $1,000 this, $1,000 that. And, so, you know, you're scared the preacher might make a bad butt print on it or something. I don't want anything like that. If that's what you like, you help yourself. I want something you can live in. I want something people can feel comfortable in. Amen. I want to be able to kick my feet up in my house. I want to be able to be myself. I want to be able to relax. Amen. Anybody in here like that? There's nothing wrong with that. And listen, I got enough sense to know that when I'm in my house, I don't have to conduct myself exactly the same way as when I'm dealing with this situation over here, or I'm in public dealing with these folks. I mean, when I was at that fancy wedding yesterday in front of a couple of hundred people, I didn't act like I was from Loango, okay? When I know I'm a redneck, you know I'm a redneck, but when you get in front of them kind of folks, you got to try to tone it down a little bit. I understand that. But what goes on in the home is, I've seen it too many times in the church, we want to get out in public and act like we're one thing and act like we're something and come to church and say the old preacher words and amen and praise God and shake you, wear, get out your old suit and get out your old tie and everything else. And then you're somebody totally different in your home. You come here and people think you're spiritual, and at home you're fussing and cussing and raising hell and acting like an idiot. Amen. And you think that's going to work? Boy, there is no liberty in here at all. What is it? What's the problem? You know what I think it is? Because some of you got some nasty houses. Now, you keep staring at me, bless God. I'll drop the plow about 12 inches deeper, and we'll dig it up. Because I've been preaching for years, and your expression and face are not going to stop it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you know, bless God. See, I tried to be nice, but I'm going to shift it in another gear now, bless God. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you have been living hypocritical lives. You're one thing at the house and another thing here at the church. And that's wicked as hell. And you ought to get right with God today if you got any character at all. Now, bless God, all of you's looking at me.
Amen. That's good for you. Come on,
brother. Bunch of cotton-picking Baptist hypocrites. You come to church and act like you care about God, act like you want to live right, and then you get in your home, you got all kind of hell going on. Old preacher told me a long time ago, Brother Ken, he said, when you're preaching and you ain't got no liberty, take it.
Right.
I always believe in doing it the easy way or the hard way. So we'll just plow through it and do it the hard way. You see the real you. You see a different you. You'd be surprised at what goes on in home. Listen, I know that when you're in your home, there's ways that all of us will act that we will never act in public. Let's be honest. Ain't that true? In public? I understand that. I understand human nature as it is, okay? But you know what I'm preaching on. You wouldn't dare want the preacher, and I'm not even your eternal judge. I'm not your eternal judge. Why would you even care? But you wouldn't dare want the preacher to drop in on some of you sometime. Some of you, before I ever got out to slam the car door, I'd be able to hear you cussing and hollering and carrying on in your house. You wouldn't never want the preacher to knock on the door. Turn that movie off. Good night. Some of you women, you'd be raising sand at your husband and hollering and carrying on and telling him off. And then I knock on the door, thing go quiet. Oh, hey, Brother Dennis, come in. Let me tell you something, ladies. Let me tell all you ladies. Nice. Like I said, I try to do it nice. We ain't going to be able to do it nice today. You're a wicked woman if you'll talk better to that preacher than you do your own husband. I'm telling you something, ladies, you're a wicked woman if you'll be, oh, Brother Dennis, and God bless you, and amen, and nice to me, and polite to me, and be mean to your husband. Outside of Jesus Christ, the man in your life, you ought to be the sweetest to, you ought to be the kindest to, you ought to be the most polite, you ought to be the most loving, you ought to be the most cared, and you ought to defend him till he dies, is your husband. Amen. You don't impress me, ladies, coming and being nice to me and talking to your husband like a dog. You ought to crawl up this altar. Ticks me off. How some old woman being nice and polite to me, and I know she's raising hell at her husband. Well, be coming up here being nice and polite to me and act like you some kind of sweet woman and you're all godly and Brother Dennis. And you say, well, I just wish my husband was more like Brother Dennis and I treat him like that. That's the wrong answer. Maybe he wishes you's more like another woman. Some of you wandered in here and said, bless God, how did I ever make it in here today? You know what you got? You got things in your house that ought not be in there. You'd be surprised at the kids that grow up in homes full of alcoholism and drugs and partners of different mamas and daddies coming in and out. You'd be surprised at what these kids have to grow up in today. And I'm just, this is a good time to say it, but just overall neglect in the home. The neglect of children in the home today is astonishing to me. Most kids could be down there in the basement building a pipe bomb, fixing to go to school the next day and blow the whole thing up or shoot somebody, go in McDonald's and kill about 10 or 15 people. You parents, you wouldn't know it. That woman's busy doing this. That man's busy doing that. They don't even never talk to each other. Don't know what their kids are doing. I don't never go to the table at night and sit down together. It don't matter if it's Viennese and crackers, man. You ought to go to the table and sit down with one another and talk with your youngin. And that woman, talk to her husband. You've been at work all day talking to other men, bless God. You ought to talk to your husband. And men, I'm going to tell you men something. You like to run off and do stuff all the time and be gone with the fellas. You ought to get your butt back at the house. You ought to put your gun up in your gun case every once in a while. Put your fishing rod back up in the place. You ought to not ask for overtime all the time and get your butt back at the house and spend some time with your wife. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Sit down at the table together. It's neglect. They're neglected. The babysitter is videos. Some of you are very guilty. You don't want to spend quality time with your youngest, so you put them in there watching some kind of stinking video. So you got to fool with them. That's what's going on in your home. You know what used to go on in the home? Even the people that weren't saved, they sitting out on the porch talking. They're playing. Youngest ain't running in. Oh, that bugs me. Youngest running in and out of the house. Slamming doors. Boy, I'm getting mad thinking about it. I can't stand youngest slamming doors. You ought to come and run through the house, wham! Run back to the house, wham! Back to the house, wham! You know what? Your youngins might, especially your boys, might not grow up to be sissies if you make them stay out in the yard. They need to play around with some dirt, eat some dirt, play. When they come knocking at the door, say, I'm hot, I'm thirsty. They just come in the house 30 minutes ago, say, I don't care, get back out. Do like me and Brother Keith did. We used to crawl up under the house and play Talladega. Crawled up under my granny's house and made us a dirt track up under there. And we had Bobby Allison and Richard Petty racing each other. That shows you how old I am. Get out in the yard and do something. Running through the house, slamming doors. No, let them eat all the tater chips they want. They just get so fat they can't even move. Don't ask them to do no work or nothing. Mama's got her thing going here. Daddy's got his thing going here. They never spend no quality time with each other and never do anything together. And then when they grow up, you wonder why your kids are in trouble. Wonder why one day you've just grown apart. Men, I can tell you why she's grown apart from you. She grown apart from you because you ain't never there. It don't take a rocket science to figure that out. You expect her to stay emotionally connected with you, and you ain't never there. But bless God, you were there long enough to tell her how she's done wrong. But you ain't going to step in and do nothing about it. This is crash and burn today, baby. It's lack of harmony. Neglect of children. It's neglect of God. There's something wrong if you just pick up your Bible in passing to come to church. You pick up your Bible, you come to church, you go back home, there won't be any more Bible reading, won't be any more studying, any more praying. Family altar, you can forget it. The altar is the TV. Amen. Amen. No prayer, no Bible reading, no mention of God, no teaching about the things of God. Daddy's not a leader. Listen, men, you're supposed to be a spiritual leader in your family. You're supposed to lead your family in the right way. Well, I go to work every day and I earn money and I taught my boy how to hunt and I taught my boy how to fish and I taught him how to work hard. I taught him how to make money. I taught him how to be a man, and he'll die and go to hell because of you, Daddy. You didn't teach him the right thing. You got to teach him to fear the Lord.
Amen.
That's what they're seeing in the house.
Yeah.
That's what's in the homes. Our house is not a place dedicated and committed and given to God. And we wonder why you can't just leave your house in a hurry on Sunday morning and get in church and feel the Spirit. There we go with that word again, feel. And enjoy the presence of God and shout like some of these other people and say amen like some of these other people and get the blessings and grow in the Lord. I tell you why. Everybody look up here at me. You're not going to stay in your house Monday through Saturday and live in an environment of the devil and then rush in here on Sunday morning and act like you Mr. Spiritual. It don't work that way.
Amen.
It don't work that way. Now, what ought to be seen in the house? Things that are very opposite. Everything that's opposite of what I've just mentioned to you. It ought to be the same you, not a different you, not a hypocritical you. Let me tell you something. Everybody look up here if you're a mama or a daddy. The quickest way to turn your children off of God and away from God and away from the church and turn them off the things of God is to see mom and daddy act one way down at the church and act another way in the home.
Amen.
They'll peg you for a hypocrite before they're 4 or 5 years old. And by the time they become a teenager, they'll think that Christianity and church and God and the things of God is a joke. And they'll snicker about you. I know some of them have talked to me. Ask Russell what some of these young people tell him. They'll talk about you behind your back and talk about what a hypocrite mama and daddy is. I'm going to tell you something else some of these young kids will do. I try to shut them up when they do. And I honestly do. I'm like, no, you don't need to be telling me that. You better get clearance from your mama. But they'll find that youth pastor and they'll find that preacher. They'll tell on your butt. Amen. You think you got it hid from the preacher and everybody else the way you act? No, no, no. Them kids is telling on you.
Amen.
When they get started with me, I try to say, nah, I don't think that's what I need to be. I want to hear that. It needs to be the same you, not a different you. It needs to be righteous living instead of unrighteous living in your house. What is God looking down from heaven to see in your house? What's your home? You know, a structure is a house. And I'm talking about what goes on in your house makes it a home. That's what I'm saying. Is there harmony? Is there harmony between mom and daddy? Harmony between mom and daddy and the children? Listen, parents, let me tell you this. Those children need to see in your home that mom and daddy are on the same side and they're against you, children. Mom and daddies, you don't know how detrimental, how you're messing up your kids when he can run over there and ask daddy about something and daddy says no and then run over to mama. Mama says yes or vice versa. Mama says no and then daddy says yes. You know what they do? Listen, these kids don't care about your marriage. All children are selfish. They don't care if y'all fuss and get along or not. They'll be more than happy to turn mom and daddy against each other just to get their way. Just to get their way. And you may not agree with each other's decision, but once the other one's made the decision, you stick with them. You have a united front in front of those kids. Now, after they're going out, if you need to go to the bedroom and talk it over with your spouse and say, I don't think you did the right thing, or I don't think you did the right thing, y'all have it out then. But don't you let your children put one of you against another. You'll ruin your children. I didn't always agree with Darby. She didn't always agree with me, but my son knew it was me and Darby. And we tell him this. We say, son, you ain't turning your mama against me. You ain't turning me against your mama. It was me and your mama before you ever come along. And after you're gone, and now he's gone, it'll still be me and your mama. So some of you are going to focus all on your children. You're going to let your children manipulate you, and they're going to manipulate you and manipulate you. And then when your children are gone, listen, when your children are gone, you'll sit there in that house so alone, you won't even have a conversation with one another.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because you focus all on your children. All on your children. You never focused on your spouse. You ladies, look at me now. I know you get busy with having children. And men, I know you get busy with working. But there's going to come a day, and if you don't think it'll come just like that, because my son's gone. And it's me and my wife every day by ourselves. The good thing is me and my wife had something before my son came along. Me and my wife had something while my son was at home. And me and my wife have something now that he's gone. And some of you, you don't have anything with your wife. All, everything is built around your children, your children, your children, your children, your children. I'm telling you, when your children's gone, you're in for some marital problems. You're going to get depressed. You're going to have trouble, especially with this empty nest syndrome. Or you might be like us singing the free bird. Free as a bird now.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. When you read over Leviticus chapter 14, I'm getting ready to sum all this up and help you. I know this is a little scattered this morning. This is because I haven't had a lot of thought in this like I usually do in my sermons. I'm usually well prepared. I'm not as prepared this morning. This was something that come on me this morning, as a matter of fact, and I got in there looking at it. So I understand that. In Leviticus 14, you don't have to turn there, just listen to me. They tell you about the laws of a house that has leprosy in it. The leprosy has taken to the walls and it's overtaken the house. And in Leviticus 14, it talks about getting that leprosy out of that home. Now, we know what leprosy is a type of. Leprosy is a type of sin. And there's all kind of things it says in that chapter when it's talking about, but there's three things that stick out to me. First of all, it says the high priest has to go over there and look in that house to identify the problem. And then it says, according to whether you can scrape the leprosy off or not, there's some stones that you take out of the house and get them out of the way because they're unclean, and then some new stones that you put back in it. And I thought, that's just perfect. What can I sum up and tell you about our spring house cleaning this morning? Well, first of all, you need to let our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, come in and do the inspecting. Okay? You need to step, and what they would do is he'd get the people out of the house and the priest come in there and look. So what we need to do is we need to stand at the front door and just let the Lord Jesus Christ come by today and say, "Hey, Savior, thank you, Lord." Just step back and just stand there and wait for him to go in there and wait for him to do his looking. And then he'll come back. Listen to me now. Listen, he'll come back and he'll say, "These are the spots of leprosy I have identified in your house. This is what needs to leave, and this is what needs to be put in there." You understand? There are some things that are unclean. That's what leprosy would cause you to be. You'd be unclean. And those unclean things need to be out of that house. And there are some things that need to be put into that house. See, separation ain't just getting rid of stuff. Separation is putting stuff back in. It won't do you a bit of good to get rid of the bad stuff in your house if you don't put some good stuff in there. So I want to ask you this. Have you dedicated your house to the Lord? What is it that God is looking down from heaven and he's looking in your home and he's saying, "That's not good. That's not right. That needs to be changed. That's terrible." And he's saying, "You know what you need to do? This is spring house cleaning. You know what you need to do? You need to drag some of that mess out of there." You ladies remember doing that before? Dragging that mess out of the house? Some of it don't need to be dragged back in. It can't be fixed. We just had our house cleaned. We throwed away a bunch of junk. Stuff that was so marred up, it wasn't worth saving. Just in the way. And then you say, "Okay, what do I need to put back in the house?" Maybe a dehumidifier. Maybe some new shades. Something. You need to have a spring house cleaning. And I'm telling you this, your children need it. Your marriage needs it. Your spouse needs it. This church needs it. Because if there's dysfunction in the family, the church can't go on. And you say, "Where does it start?" I've heard LaVon say this. He said, "Now, when I went to my house, I went as far as I can go." Ain't that true? I mean, when I load up today and I go to my home, you back me up as far as I can go. So when I'm at my home, that's where it all begins. That's where the real stuff in my life really takes place, is at my house. And if you're not even there sometimes, men, or if when you are there, you're staying out in the yard or trying to stay gone, how can you expect it to get any better?
Amen.
And women, are you making the home a place where he even wants to come? Amen. That's your responsibility. You call that old fashioned? I don't give a rip. You're supposed to make the home where he wants to come. There needs to be a spring cleaning in the homes of this church. And I just wonder this morning if there's any Christians. This ain't been exciting preaching. I ain't had a lot of liberty. This ain't no great. I wouldn't turn this sermon in when I was back in Bible college to get a grade on it. Okay. But I believe God's dealt with some people's hearts. And I wonder if there's anybody in here. When we start this hymn invitation, just get up. I know you ain't got to come to the altar, but show God you mean business. Say, God, I want you to clean my home up. And whatever needs to go, I want it to be gone. And whatever I need to put in there, I want to put it in there. And I want to have a home, not a house. I don't want to go to a house today, Lord. I want to go to a home. But you can't go to a home if God ain't in control of your home. Every head bowed and eye closed.